1 through 9 we covered last time, and so now, put that out there. We're going to cover verse number 10 and try to finish the chapter out tonight, and then by God's grace next Sunday morning, we're going to finish out chapter number 9. All right, quite a few verses here, so we're going to read these, and I won't belabor any of them, but we will kind of speak about them to refresh your memory about faith promise giving. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, starting in verse number 10, read with me, here we go. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it.
As there was a readiness to do, so
there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. Amen. That is a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes.
Does it make sense to everybody? Everybody know what you're talking about? We can close it up and go home?
No.
Doesn't make that much sense. Amen. Father, help us now tonight as we look at what Paul is talking about to the church at Corinth. And help us to apply that to our form and method and guideline of giving to our missionaries. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need again, once again. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Again, for most of us, though, this should be, like I say, old hat. We're familiar with grace giving for the most part. Some of us may not be as familiar, but for the most part, we are. We saw this last Sunday, why we need and have a missions program, because we're supposed to reach the world, Matthew 28:19. We saw this, why we have to finance a missions program, because we can't go everywhere. Brother and Sister Duffy would love to go to Hawaii as missionaries, I'm sure, amen. I would love to go to Tahiti and check up on missionaries there. Pastor White would like to go back to Germany and check up on missionaries there, amen. So we can't go every place, but we do have to go every place according to the Bible. And there are people volunteering to go. Amen. By the way, somebody needs to go to Joliet and plant a church. Anybody want to go? Pastor, why you want to go back to Joliet, Illinois? That's my hometown. God hadn't called me there. Somebody needs to go to New Jersey and plant a church in New Brunswick. Pastor, why you want to go there? Somebody go to North Carolina, Pastor. They're going to get him sooner or later. But God has people ready to go places. But guess what? Somebody's got to fund them to go. Amen. And so it is with missions. Amen.
How we finance the missions program comes with 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. We take the principle from their type of giving and apply it to our missions giving. Are they giving to missionaries here in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9? No. They're giving by grace, and that's why we call this whole process of giving to missions grace giving. We've got to go and reach all nations. We cannot go, but God has raised up people to go. Our job now is to help them to go. And when they go, guess who gets the fruit of their going?
We do.
We do. What did Brother Kraft mention several times over there? That's fruit to our account from the missions that he had done over there. Amen? And so that's the process of grace giving. So when you look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it's not describing missions giving, but it is describing giving by grace. We began to go down there in verses number 1, 6, 7, 9, and 19 and show you the words grace in those verses and how grace was pretty much giving us the strength or ability to do God's will. The simple definition is undeserved favor. God has given you favor. So we are going to be given the ability to give, amen. It's loving kindness, it's goodwill, it's getting what we don't deserve. All of those are defined as grace. And so we looked at verses 1 through 5, and we saw God's grace was demonstrated through the saints there. We saw verse 2, they gave through poverty. We saw in verse number 3, they gave beyond their power. We saw in verse number 3, they gave, or verse 5, they gave because they presented themselves. All things that are necessary in giving. Then we came down there and Paul said, all right, now I want you to demonstrate that same grace in verse number 6 that you demonstrated and all these other things down there because Titus is going to come and help you out. In verse number 7, he challenged them. He said, you guys have been doing such great things on these things. Notice this, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, he said, you excel in that. See that ye abound in this grace also. What is this grace? That was the promise that they promised to give already. Other churches had promised to give because Corinth said they would give. And everybody else said, hey, we will too. Amen. You ever had your children do that? One likes broccoli and the other one says, we like broccoli too. Amen. One says we don't like broccoli. The other says we don't like broccoli either. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is the other churches follow Corinth's lead. And they said, hey, if Corinth is going to do it, we can do it too. Hey, if Tony can do it, I can do it too. If Daniel can do it, I can do it too. Hey, if Trudy can do it, I can do it too. And the other churches did the same thing. They said, if Corinth is given, we're given too. The only one problem with that. Who knows what the problem with that was? Corinth didn't do it. And so Paul has to write back to them and said, hey, look, you said you're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And so he said, look, you're abounding in so many things, verse number 7. He says, verse 8, I'm not speaking by commandment. I can't force you to do this. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, if you really love God and love others, then make good on what you said. And then he puts Jesus Christ in there, verse number 9. We saw that on Sunday. And so we saw God's grace demonstrated through the saints and through the Savior there. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And though he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, in verse number 9. That ye through his poverty might be rich. That's when we left off at on Sunday. Paul said, hey, look, if you want to consider grace giving, you think about he who gave it all. Jesus gave it all. And if you want to talk about giving and going through difficult times, Jesus did it all. He did it all. So grace giving was defined in verses 1 through 9, Jesus being the epitome of giving. And now let's look at grace giving done and delivered. Notice what Paul says, first of all. Again, he's speaking to a church that promised to help these saints in Judea. They were going through a famine, and he said, hey, look, you guys want to help? They said, yeah, we want to help. And so Paul says, all right, you want to help? Let's do this. And this church said, I want to help. Yes, we're going to help. They actually did it. Corinth didn't. Paul writes back and says, hey, you guys going to do it? And notice what he says in verse number 9. Grace giving done and delivered. It's expedient, basically, what he says here in verse number 10. Notice what he says. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also be forward a year ago. When people give you advice, do they expect you to do it? Yes. Most times they do. My wife said, honey, you had surgery. don't go upstairs. She gave me good advice, very good advice. And I should have listened to the advice that she gave. Honey, whatever you need, I'll go get it. Me being prideful, I can do it myself. Trudged up the stairs with my good hand held on to the rail and got all the way upstairs. See, I don't need anybody to help me. I can do it myself. Went up, got whatever I was getting, and I came back downstairs. Did you notice anything about me going upstairs?
Your good hand is no longer available.
Where is good hand coming down the stairs?
Amen.
Is there any rail over here in my house? No rail over there coming downstairs. Joshua just relived it to me the other day. Dad, remember when I was by the stairs and my foot was there and you tried to miss my foot? And guess what I tried to reach with this hand? The banister. Guess what I couldn't reach with this hand?
Amen.
The banister. Guess where my body went?
Down the stairs.
I should have listened to good advice, shouldn't I? But going up, I had no problems. It was just coming down with this thing here. And my wife thought I'd die. I felt like I died. Maybe I did and came back to life again. Amen. You know how it feels to go down the stairs trying to reach for something, knowing that you can't reach for it. And you're like, move, move. And you kind of fall in slow motion. You kind of say, oh, and this thing is not cooperating. Oh, I'm going to fall on it. Oh, boom. It's like, ah. Oh. My wife said, are you okay? No. I actually said yes, but I wasn't. I wasn't. Amen. What happened? I didn't listen to good advice. Paul said, I'm giving you some advice here. Paul says this down in verse number 11. Now, therefore, verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. What does expedient mean? It's profitable for you. Paul, again, he said, I'm not commanding you, but I'm going to give you some advice. So I'll give you my opinion. As a young church that I started, you need to listen to me. Amen. He lets them know it's expedient or to their advantage to finish this grace giving. He said, you guys begun it. You started a year ago. And now, why don't you do it? Amen. And notice what he says. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. Who have begun before, he said, you began it before. He said, not only to do, but also to be 40 years ago. He said, now go back and make up what you were supposed to give back then and bring it up to date. Amen. Sort of like back taxes. Amen. Doesn't Uncle Sam always want his money from you? You can be 130. He still want his money. He's going to get your Social Security. He's going to get something from you. Amen. And so he says, it's expedient, amen, to do this, to give by grace. But then he said in verse 11, not only is it expedient, it's expected to give by grace. Notice what he says. Now, therefore, what does he say? Perform the doing of it. Now, my wife said, honey, I'll give you my advice. Don't go upstairs. And she said, now, don't go upstairs. Of course, we men sometimes are hard-headed.
Amen.
And we find out the hard way. Has Brother Duffy ever fallen without his walker?
Oh, yeah. And because he says, I don't need it. Leave me alone.
Brother, I feel your pain. We think we can. I think I can. And then I think I cannot.
My head is as hard as I've
It's softened up some over the years. Amen. He said, it's expected. He said, now. He said, perform the doing of it. He said, now perform it, amen. Now do it, amen. He said, you had a readiness to will. He said, now do it, amen. That's what he said. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, he said, you wanted to do it. Your willpower was there. So there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. What is the hardest part about exercising?
Exercising.
Starting.
Exercising, doing it.
Yeah.
What is the hardest part about dieting? Dieting, doing it. I mean, you can draw up all these plans and say, I'm going to have this, and I'm going to cut this, and these calories, and boom, and you put it all out, and it looks good until you see some cake. You can go out and get you a headband and get you some Nikes and some Air Jordans. I'm going to go out and run until you go out and run. Guess what? You haven't performed the doing of it. I mean, my mother said, I'm going to work out. My mama doll said, I'm going to work out. We got our purple running suit. Purple headband. I mean, she had the whole night, man. She looked good, but she didn't run. We're like, Mom, we spent good money on this stuff for you, and you didn't run. Perform the doing of it. Paul said, look, it's expedient. He said, but it's expected. He said, that church, you said you were going to do it. Now go do it. That's like buying the sweatsuit and not going to exercise. Amen. And my mother said, I'm going to do it one of these days. Amen. It's like reading the Bible. Until you actually sit down and read it, guess what? It's just theory. Amen. And so Paul says, hey, I'll perform it and then provide it. Notice verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Paul said, now give out of what you have. And I like this. We can't give what we don't have. I can give you $20 now because I got $20 in my pocket. But I cannot give you $21 because I don't have $21 in my pocket. The most I can give you is $20. You say, well, preacher, why can't you give me $21? Because I don't have it. What did he say? He said, out of that which ye have. So when it comes down to us giving to missions, God wants us to examine what we have. God does not expect you to give what you don't have if you're not going to give what you already have. Y'all with me on that? Amen. Amen. So he says, look at what you have. Well, what happens when we go to buy something at the store? We look at what we have. And we say, okay, I can afford this or I can't afford this. Either or. And so he says, out of what you have. Now notice what he says here, because most of us are going to give in three ways. Now, I say this every year. Out of our abundance, that means you're going to look at what money you have. You're going to say, I can afford to give $5 a week, $10 a week, $20 a week, $100 a week, whatever. You're going to look at your abundance, amen? Most people are going to give out of that way, your abundance, or by sacrifice. You're going to look at what you have, and you're going to say, you know what? I'm looking at what I have, and I can afford this, but I can't get that if I do this. That's a sacrifice. I'll do without my popsicles, or I'll do without my ice cream, or I'll do without one cup of coffee this week, or I'll do without that dress or that pair of shoes, or I'll do without it. That's a sacrifice. I'll say, hey, look, I see what I have, and I don't have a real abundance, but I can give out of my abundance. But I may have to sacrifice. That's sacrificial giving. And then the third way we can give is by sheer faith. Amen. Saying, I can't afford to give it. I don't even see it. But I'm going to trust God to give it to me. Very few of us give that way. Let's just be honest. We give out of what we can see. Lord, if I don't see it, I can't give it. Amen. And so most of us will give out of the first two, out of our abundance, or we'll have to make a sacrifice to get it. Amen. And so Paul says it's expedient, verse 10. It's expected, verse 11. Perform the doing of it. It's expanded in verses 12 through 15. Notice what he says in verse number 12. For to be first a willing what? Mind. That's where it all starts. I want to do it. They should be willing to give out of what they have. Paul said, you already promised, and so you should be willing to give out of what you have and not what you have not. He says, now, if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. He says, God is not interested in you trying to give what you don't have. God will accept what you have. And God is not ashamed to take that if you're willing to give that. He says, first of all, it's got to be a willing mind, but then it's got to be something else. He says, think of the future. Notice verse 13 and 14. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. He's speaking about the people in Judea. He said, I'm not trying to tell you to give so they have an easy street. He said, they're going through poverty right now. They're having a famine there in Judea. So I'm not asking you to give so that they can be on easy street. But notice what he says. I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your what? Abundance may be a supply for their what? Their want. In other words, what Paul is saying, Corinth, you have it going on right now. There is no famine. They have a famine. Now, Corinth, what I want you to do is look at what you have and what can you give to help them who's going through a famine so that this thing called Christianity can be equaled out a little bit so that you're not fat and they're not lean, but you both have. Okay? When it comes to missions, we expect our missionaries to go out there and give out the gospel. But God says, now, wait a minute, they got to get there somehow. And so, Christian church, I expect you to give to them so that they can go over there and do what I've called them to do. Now, notice what he says. I mean, not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. That, notice this, their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. You know what Paul is saying? Hey, Corinth, there may be a time when Judea is fat and they got some money. And there may be a time, Corinth, when you're in a famine and you're lean and you're going to need some help. And guess what they're going to remember? I remember they helped me out. Let's help them out. He said, I remember. Don't we think like that? We get in a situation and somebody comes and help us out. And then when that person is down, guess what we think? I remember when they helped me. So I, most gladly will I go over and help them. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying Corinth, Judea is in trouble. And so what I want you to do is help them out. There's going to be a time when you may need their help. He said, as it is written, verse 15, he says, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. He's talking about the time in the wilderness when the manna was falling down and everybody had to collect the manna. Matter of fact, hold your finger there. Go back to Exodus with me real quick. Exodus 16, verse 18. So he's taking Corinth back down memory lane when the manna fell. Exodus 16 and verse number 18. And Pastor White, read that for me, because they're in the wilderness now, and the instructions are being given as to what they were supposed to collect. Exodus 16 and verse number 18.
And when they had met it, and with an armor, that they gathered much, much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating.
Amen. So in other words, he's saying when these folks took up the manna, the ones that took up a little had enough, the ones that took up a lot had enough. Either way it goes, it was enough. He said, now if you take your money, Corinth, and help out Judea, and Judea and their type of need help you out, it's going to even out. When you and I give to missions, guess what? It evens out, because God has mandated that you and I reach the world. We understand we can't go everywhere, but we can help those that do go. And so he took them all the way back to Moses to understand the gathering of the manna there and how that whole thing went down there. So we see grace giving done and delivered. It was expedient in verse number 10. It was expected in verse number 11. Paul expanded on it down there in verses 12 through 15, how they really needed to get involved in this. And then notice a grace giving defended. Paul begins to defend this, because now if this is done right, and if Corinth gives, guess what? There's going to be a lot of money there. Corinth was a very wealthy place, a very wealthy city. They had some wealthy people in the church. They were some spiritually minded people as well as carnal minded people. And there were people that had money, and there were people that didn't have money. And if this thing is done right, the church of Corinth was probably going to be one of the biggest giving churches. Amen. Amen. Hey, go back to chapter number 1 of 1 Corinthians. And not second Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if this is done right, there's going to be a good amount of money taken up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And notice what Paul says down here in verse number 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, and everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind and know what? Gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a church, they had every spiritual gift that was there available that they were supposed to be utilizing. They had the ability to do whatever it is that God wants. They were a very, very good church as far as materially and spiritually minded. They just were carnal in a lot of things. But Paul said, you don't come behind any spiritual gift. You have everything you need. So this is done right. This offering can be pretty big. Go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. So now Paul begins to detail if this grace giving is going to be done. If it's going to be delivered, then it needs to be defended. Notice what he says down here about Titus in verses 16 and 17, his care and his concern. He says this, 2 Corinthians, yeah, chapter number 8. He says, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. He said, Titus cares about you just like me. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went to you. Paul says, you know what? He's concerned about you, and he's got care for you. Titus was reached much in the same way that you guys were reached. Somebody gave him the gospel, amen? You go back to Titus chapter number 1, and he talks about how Titus came to know Christ as his Savior. And so Titus was anxious to go down there. This money's collected then. It's going to be a good amount of money. Paul wants to send somebody he trusts. Go back to Titus chapter number 1 with me real quick. Titus chapter number 1. If he's going to send somebody, he's going to send somebody he trusts. Titus chapter number 1. Brother Duffy, read for me verse number 4. Titus 1, 4.
To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
And verse number 5 as well.
For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee.
So Paul knew he could trust Titus. He said, I've trusted him before to do some things and set some things in order. So he knew he could trust Titus to do the job. So go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he said, not only was Titus excited about this, he wanted to go of his own accord and go down there to you. So this grace giving then is being defended. Titus here has a concern, and he is in care right along with Paul. He was anxious and he wanted to do it. But then notice not only Titus, verse 16, 17, but notice down here some other brothers in verses 18 and 19. Because again, this has got to be defended. And we have sent with him, notice this, the brother, not just any brother, but whose praise is in the gospel. That means he is a gospel-giving person throughout all the churches. All the churches know this guy's a soul winner. He's giving out the gospel. It says, and not that only, but who is also chosen of the churches. He said, not only is this guy giving out the gospel, he's known throughout the churches, and he's being praised for that. It says he's chosen of the churches, notice this, to travel with us with this grace. What is that grace? The grace of their giving, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind. So Paul says, I got Titus going. But not only is Titus going, there's another brother who is known for giving out the gospel. And everybody knows that. He's going as well. Why? There's going to be a lot of money. Going to be a lot of money. By the way, they didn't have UPS back in those days. They didn't have FedEx back in those days. They didn't have Amazon. They didn't have any of that. They had to go by foot or by horse. And guess what you needed as you went? Somebody to help defend that loot. Amen. And so he says, we've got Titus. He's a committed courier. We got some considered company in verses 18 and 19. But then notice down here in verses 20 and 21. He talks about their Christian conduct. He said, and not that only, but who also, which verse is that? Yeah, 20 and 21. Avoiding this, no man should blame us in this abundance. He said, I don't want anybody to blame us with the abundance of money that we're going to have, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only inside of the Lord, but also inside of men. He said, I don't want anybody to be able to lay any blame to us that we've done something with this money. Titus is going. This other brother is going. He said, because we want to be honest, want to be upfront with everybody on what's going on. Amen. And what the Bible say? Two or three witnesses to establish it as everybody. Paul's already got these two going. And notice what he said down here in verses 22, the Christian caution. And we have sent with them our brother. So Paul said, Titus is going. This other brother is going. He said, now we've sent with them our brother. This Paul said, now you got somebody going, Titus is going, and I got somebody going that I know. So somebody that Corinth knows, somebody that Paul knows, somebody that all the churches knows, and Titus. So this is a good company of folks here. Says, we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. Paul says, now Titus is already going, but this brother's proved too. But not much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. He says now, verse 23, whether any inquire of Titus, he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Paul says, now, you want to ask about him? I got his back. He said, or the brethren be inquired of. He said, the men that I've got going with him, that's listed up there in verses number 18 and down there in verse number 22. He said, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. So in other words, Paul says, Titus is coming. This other brother is coming. We got a brother that's going as well. And when they come, we've already boasted about you guys, that you guys were going to give. We've already told them how blessed you are as a church. We've already put you up, so to speak, and say, you know what? They were the first ones to promise. They may be the last ones to give, but they're going to be the best givers. Paul said, now they're going to come. They're going to show up. And Paul said, when they come, when they show up, he says, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. Hey, what did he say? The sincerity. He said, prove it now. Now prove it by your giving. He says, and of our boasting on your behalf. How did Jesus prove it? Go back to verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He said, now I've already showed you how Jesus proved his love. He said, now I'm not asking you to give your life. I'm just asking you to give them a little bit of financial help. He said, now prove it. He said you do it. You said you're good for it. I've got some men coming. We're going to make sure this money is safe. We're going to make sure this money is sound. So when they get there, you treat them right. And don't make me into a liar, because I told them how much of a good giver you guys are. What's going on here? Paul said, I'm not trying to ease them by taking from you. He said, there may be a time when they have a lot and you have a little, and you're going to need some help. And so Paul is giving the illustration of giving to the saints in Judea, and that is the principle that we take in giving to missions, because we have a responsibility. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. We don't have the capability to go to all nations, but Jesus told us to do it. He said, you're going to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. How do we do that? By giving to missionaries that can go where we can't go. Is God asking us to give what we don't have? No. He says, check what you have and give out of that which you have. It might be a sacrifice, but it might be out of your abundance. But he says, you can give. By the way, the mandate is given to the church. So that means all of us can be involved. My children give to missions. Say, preach, how much do they give? They don't give a whole lot, but guess what? They give. They give. Now, I don't expect them to give like Rockefeller or Ted Turner, because they're giving off of allowance that we give them. And they don't get big bucks. But you know what? They happily put it in. And so if children can give, that's why we have a spot on there for youth. Youth, that's anyone that's not a teenager. Teenagers, that's all teens. Adults is anyone over 19. Because everybody can give. The thing that I want you to do, pray about what God would have you to give. We talked about it in the first couple weeks, though. My tithe and offerings come first. Missions is above my tithes and above my offering. This is something special that God says, I'm designating to reach the world with the gospel. And we talked about that in the first couple weeks. So as we approach that time, Dr. Ball will be here next Wednesday. He's going to start challenging us from the Word of God to give to missions. You look at what God wants you to give. Don't look at what your neighbor can give. Don't look at what somebody else can. Look at what you can give through God's grace and God's guidance on your life. Now you say, preacher, it's not going to be a lot. God is not interested in the amount as much as he is in your heart. And he wants you to be honest with what he wants to do with you and with your heart. Did Corinth do it? Yes, they did. Was the churches in Judea blessed? Yes, they were. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Will people get saved as a result? Yes, they will. Listen to what Brother Kraft said Sunday night. Yes, they will. Yes, they can. Amen. And so as we approach Sunday morning, we'll be talking about 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and finishing up grace giving and trusting God to work. Pastor White's going to preach our last message Sunday night. Dealing with missions, and then Brother Baldwin will be here. The main thing is to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do for worldwide evangelism? I don't have much. None of us have much. But we can give a little. And you know, if you give a little every week, God can take that and just bless it and do some wonderful, wonderful things with it. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness on our lives. Help us, Lord, as Shining Light Baptist Church, to do our debt level best, Lord, to allow you to use our funds for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. We do thank you and love you for being a merciful God. Thank you for the missions dollars that we've been able to give these past years. Thank you, Lord, that we have missionaries that are sticking with the stuff. We have some that have been married, some that have come off the field, some that have pursued other things, God. But through it all, you have blessed, Lord, the ones that have gone out and the souls that have been impacted for the glory of God. It's fruit that abounds to our account. Help us to be faithful to be used again and again. for the cause of Jesus Christ. Be obedient to what you've called us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White, come on up. Give us our announcements. Amen. The biggest one is the Patch Kids will be in with us next week. Amen. And we are having awards on Sunday.
Okay. Just a couple of things to remind you of.